Okay, welcome everyone to week three of the new you in the new year. And this week we're going to be talking about stress and how stress and emotions and emotional trauma affects weight gain. And basically, I'm going to talk a lot about this throughout this class, but I really want to nail this issue down right here, right now. So we're so conditioned to thinking of weight loss in terms of calories in and calories out that at most, the only way that we would give any importance to any kind of stress, chronic stress or emotional stress or emotional trauma, the only way we give any kind of importance to that is that because it might cause junk food cravings or emotional eating, and that's the extent of it. But the truth is there's much, much, much more to it. And when you really, really understand how stress affects your body and weight, you will place a newfound importance to it. And in fact, for many of us, the very reason we can't lose weight, no matter how many different diets we try or at least keep it off, is because of mental and emotional stress. And I'm just going to repeat that. For many of us, in fact, most of us listening, if you are struggling right now to lose weight and diets aren't working, the reason may be stress and emotional issues. And I'd like to give you an analogy. The body to me is what I would call a conscious machine. So it's got all the components of a machine, like a car, for example. It's got lots of different moving parts that all have to work. And then it's got another layer of consciousness in that we can use our consciousness to communicate with our body to help our body produce the right hormones and the right signals and the right genetic expressions and lots of other things. So it's an incredibly complex and intricate conscious machine. But at the very least, it is a machine, the same as a car. Now, when you look at a car, you could say that what makes a car go is the gasoline. And as long as there's gasoline in there, the car is going to go. And the more gas that's in the car, the more it's going to go. And that's true to a certain extent, as long as everything else is working right. But if the battery's dead or you need a new spark plug or a hose is broken or many, many other things are not working, it's not true. Doesn't matter how much gas you put in the tank, the car's not going to work if something else is broken. So to simply say that what makes a car work is the gasoline, and the more gas it has, the more it'll go, is true to a certain extent, as long as it's working right. But the minute it's not working right, it's not true. And it's the exact same with the body when it comes to weight. Calories in and calories out is true as long as the body's working right. But as soon as the body's not working right, it's no longer true. It doesn't matter simply about calories in and calories out. And you could be eating close to nothing and still not losing weight. And I will venture to say there's many of you that are here right now today that have lived through this experience. I know I have, where you're eating next to nothing and you're still not losing weight. That's because something else is broken. Something else is not working. And what's not working is that your ability to burn fat has been shut down. And that usually happens because some type of stress, and it could be a physical stress or an emotional stress, some type of stress has caused something called insulin resistance, which we've talked about throughout this class, which causes your insulin levels to elevate. And when you've got elevated insulin levels, you can't burn fat. It's just that simple. In order to burn fat, you have to have certain chemical equations have to take place. In order to burn fat, the enzymes and the hormones have to go into the fat cells. They have to break the fat apart. They have to go and put it through a metabolic process to have it become energy, and then we use it as energy. But that's all chemicals. The chemicals have to work. Now, if insulin is elevated in your system, those chemicals will not be produced. The chemicals, the hormones that cause you to burn weight, such as glucagon, for example, will not be produced. The enzymes that cause you the hormones that cause you to lose weight, such as glucagon, they will not be produced. The enzymes that cause you to lose weight, that are called lipolytic enzymes, they will not be produced. So if the hormones and the enzymes that cause you to burn fat do not get produced, it doesn't matter how many calories you're having or not having. Does that make sense? It's broken. You take the spark plugs out of the engine, and it doesn't matter how much gas you have in the car, it's broken. You elevate your insulin levels, and no matter what you do in terms of calories, you don't burn fat because insulin stops your body from producing the hormones and the enzymes and the other chemicals that cause you to burn fat. Does that make sense? Cool. So one of the reasons this all happens is because we have a protective mechanism that we've also talked about throughout the last couple of weeks, and that is something I call your FAD programs. And your FAD programs can be caused by physical, mental, and emotional stress. There are a series of hormonal changes that take place in your body triggered by some sort of chronic low-grade stress, and again, it can be physical, mental, and emotional, that causes insulin resistance, it causes leptin resistance, it causes your body to go into fat storage mode, and it causes your body to lose the ability to burn fat. And we've talked about some of the physical stresses like chronic yo-yo dieting, nutritional famine, digestion issues. We've touched on things like toxins and certain medications and sleep apnea. These are all things we've talked about. And what I want to talk about right now is the mental and emotional stress, because all of these things can be right. You could be nourishing your body, your digestion could be right, and all these different things could be happening. But at the same time, you're not losing weight because the mental and emotional stresses are causing the same chemistry. They're causing chemistry in your body that's causing you to hold on to weight. Does that make sense? So when you understand that, you understand that being in stress or having emotional trauma isn't just about that it may cause you to crave more junk food or cause you to eat for emotional eating. It's not just that. It's a hormonal scenario that takes place that basically tricks your body into activating your FAD programs. And as we talked about, your FAD programs are a survival program that were designed when we were living outdoors to survive long cold winters. You know, there's no way, you're living outdoors, think about it for a second, you're not going to survive a long cold winter unless you have a way of producing fat, of causing your body to gain fat for survival reasons. So if you're in a famine for months at a time, or if you're chronically cold for months at a time, those are examples, the very first primal, if you will, primal examples of chronic low-grade stresses. And those chronic low-grade stresses cause chemistry in your body that forces you to gain weight. Well, today, we don't have to worry about living outdoors, but we do have stress. And chronic low-grade and chronic modern-day stresses, the stress of work, or trying to make ends meet, all those different stresses, cause the same hormonal chemistry in your body because they're chronic low-grade stresses. This is what your body's programmed. Your body's programmed to cause you to gain weight in the face of chronic low-grade stresses. And so your body gets tricked into activating your FAD programs. A very specific example of how your body can get tricked into activating your FAD programs is the feeling of scarcity, the feeling of not having enough money, not having enough resources, not having enough. When you constantly are worried about how to make ends meet or constantly worried about not having enough, your body is going to want to protect you. First of all, the chronic stresses are going to activate your FAD programs because that's what they're programmed to do. But the conscious part of your body, the conscious part of your physical programming, your biological consciousness, is going to want to help you save resources. And the only way that your body can help you save resources is fat. Fat is a resource to your body. Fat is the only resource to your body. It is like money to your body in the sense that it's something you can live off of. You can survive. It's a resource. So your body's going to want to store fat to try to protect you when you're living in this kind of feeling of lack and famine and not having enough. Does that make sense? So cool. So hopefully you understand now that basically stress can be the most important thing that you have to deal with. And I can tell you it was for me. I started gaining weight when I started working on Wall Street in a very, very high stress job where I was training as a bond broker. I was making $300 a week. My rent was $400 a week. So I couldn't make it, you know, I could barely make ends meet, and I had to hurry and get through the training so that someday I could make money and all this kind of stuff. I started gaining the minute I was in that environment. And that environment was a hostile environment for many, many, many reasons. And I had weight issues when I was a kid and past traumas when I was a kid and it activated those past traumas and those stresses. And I just kept gaining and I went up to 400 pounds. And that was the stress. And then when the stress was gone, when I learned how to deal with the stress and I got into a lifestyle that I liked and that was more sustainable, and a life that I enjoyed, the weight just melted off me. I mean, it melted off me. I was eating McDonald's. I was eating pizza. Eventually, I stopped liking McDonald's. I stopped liking pizza. The weight melted off me. And that's when I had a message for the world. When I lived through this feeling that stress caused me to just keep gaining until I was 400 pounds. And when I when the stress went away, it was like, you know, somebody put a pinhole in a ball with air in it. It just deflated. I just deflated. There's nothing I could do to stop it. I didn't have to try too hard. And that's when I knew I had to spread this message to the world. You've got to address these issues. They are of paramount importance. And, you know, when you think about it also, for a lot of us, we don't really take the detrimental effects of stress seriously. It's all part of our shtick. It's part of our thing. You know, oh, I'm working so hard. Yeah, I'm so stressed out. How about you? Are you so stressed out? Yeah, I'm so stressed out too, man. Cool. Let's go get a beer. We're working so hard. We're so stressed out. It's so full on. We're cool, you know, but the truth is it's not cool. It's not productive. It's not cool. It stops your body from not only causes your body to gain weight, but it also stops your body from healing itself from any kind of mutations or toxins in your body, because it stops your body from producing the reparative hormones. So it's a disaster. It's not cool. It is simply a disaster. We need to reframe the context of stress to understand that it's actually the worst thing. It's like taking a drug that would be incredibly detrimental for your body, not only causing you to gain weight, but causing you to be sick and not causing you to not think clearly and causing you to get unhealthy and not be able to repair yourself. You would never do that. That's what stress is. It's causing those hormonal changes. It's the same. So we need to reframe it. We need to understand that stress and working through stress is one of the most important things we can do for the rest of our life. My learning how to meditate and becoming addicted to meditation, by the way, is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. It has changed my life. My life is, I can't even imagine, millions of times more beautiful and harmonious and happy and relaxed than if I didn't learn how to meditate and didn't become addicted to meditating and didn't meditate every day. I don't start my day without meditating, and that's because I love it more than anything in the world. It's just this journey of amazing feelings that you have. So that's an example of some of the things we're going to talk about in a minute. Learning how to reduce, whatever you're doing, you want to get into a situation where you're learning how to reduce stress. And when you think about stress also, what stress really is it's fear, right? Stress is fear. Stress is a message to your body that in some way you are unsafe. That's what the message is. When you're in a state of stress, it is an alarm bell to your body. Hey, something's wrong. We're not safe. If you were in a famine, your body would get this message. Hey, something's wrong. We're not safe. So we got to do something. There's an alert. Okay, well, let's gain weight. Let's slow down our metabolism so that we're not hungry. Let's do all those different things to preserve. So that's the answer to the threat, because our body is programmed that whatever the threat is, your body's programmed to address that threat, to make the threat less of a threat, to make the stress less of a stress, to minimize the risk. So if you're in a famine, the way your body adapts is to gain weight. Next week, we're going to talk about exercise. And if you were another type of stress when you're living outdoors, if you were running away from a tiger thousands of years ago, it's like a 30-second life or death. That's not a chronic low-grade stress, right? That's not chronic low-grade. That's called acute intense. Your body adapts to acute intense stresses by losing weight, by getting thin and fast, because that's going to keep you safe. So your body's always adapting to stresses in some way to keep you safe. Now, when it comes to mental and emotional stress and the chemistry that it causes in your body, the adaptation, for the most part, usually for many of us, is weight gain. It's just a miscommunication. Sure, the weight isn't protecting us, but at the same time, your body's not adapted to handle mental and emotional stress. It's just adapted to handle physical stresses. And so there's this miscommunication between the mind and the body that goes on, and it causes you to gain weight. And it overrides the calories in, the calories out, whether you're cardio or whether you're keto or whether you're vegan or whether you're pagan or whether you're paleo, all these things, it just gets completely overridden. Who cares what you are? You're not losing weight, you know. But when you address the stresses, and digestion was one of them last week we talked about, but when you address the mental and emotional stress, it all works then. You want to be keto, it's going to work. You want to be paleo, it's going to work. You want to be vegan, it's going to work. You want to just let your body lose weight and add healthy foods and eat when and what you want, it's going to work. And that's what we're here to talk about. So what happens with stress is it kind of sets up this kind of negative spiral in your body. Basically, a chronic stress is going to activate your fat programs, which is going to make you cause more junk food, which is going to make you cause more weight gain, which is going to put your body into more stress. Just to graphically look at it, if you have any kind of like negative thought, stress, a negative thought, simply like, oh, you know, I'm late for work, my boss is going to be mad at me, whatever the things are that you're worried about, they're repetitive. We have them throughout the day. Causes a negative emotion, fear, causes fear and stress, which causes weight gain, which causes us to become exhausted and discouraged, which causes more negative thinking. So it's a negative spiral, and we want to change that. We want to break that and create more of a positive spiral using things like meditation and visualization, things that create positive feelings in our body, positive thoughts and positive feelings, using affirmations. All these things that make us feel that we're safe. We actually have to do things to communicate to our body that we're safe. It's okay to think, oh, okay, what am I going to do to make ends meet or to retire or whatever you're worried about. It's okay to have all those thoughts, but you need to have them without the fear associated, and you need to consciously do things to communicate to your body that you're safe. When your body understands that you're safe, what happens is you let go of the weight. You create a positive spiral, more positive thoughts, more positive emotions, feelings of safety and security, which turn your fat programs off, which gives you more physical energy, which causes you to lose weight, which makes you even happier, creates a positive thinking and a positive momentum, and you create a positive spiral. And the best way to start doing that, creating that positive spiral, is with visualization. That's why I wrote a book about it, Visualization for Weight Loss. Visualization rewires your brain chemistry. It rewires your brain. One of the things it does is it actually inhibits signals to and from an area of your brain called the amygdala. And the amygdala is the seat of fear and aggression. And most of us throughout the day, our amygdala is working overtime. It is pumping fear, aggression, creating this. The more fear we have, the more aggression we have, the more fear it creates. And it's just this feedback, this positive feedback loop that causes a cascade of fear and stress hormones and hormone signals. Meditation and visualization, which is a form of meditation, rewires your brain so that it activates areas of your brain that make you feel calm and safe and secure and protective and guided and all these things that make you no longer feel fearful. And it actually inhibits the signals to the amygdala. It's magic. And what's cool about that is it's not just the 10 minutes during the day that you're doing the visualization or the meditation. It's throughout the day, and it grows over time. So the first day, the benefits that you get from day one are nothing compared to the benefits that you'll get 6 months from now or a year from now. You're rewiring your brain. You're becoming a conscious programmer. Our brains act just like computers. There's no difference to the way our brains process and the way computers process. You've got these brain cells, which are just like computer bytes that are either on or off. It's just that simple. It's networks and networks of these little bytes that are either on or off. And that's what our brain is. And you can consciously rewire it so that you're not unconsciously producing fearful and stressful hormones all day. You are consciously producing positive hormones that allow your body to lose weight. And that's when your mind and body are working together, when you become a conscious programmer of your brain. So that's stress, and that's how to deal with, and we'll talk a little bit more about how to deal with stress in a minute. But what I want to talk about now also is related to stress is emotional trauma and what I call emotional obesity. So emotional obesity is different than just feeling stressed out and causing and the weight gain side effects of stress, which are tricking your body into activating the fat programs and changing your hormones to gain weight. Emotional obesity is something different. Emotional obesity is the actual need to be fat in order to feel safe. Does that make sense? In order to feel safe, to feel protected. I have talked to, and I am not exaggerating when I say, I have talked to thousands of people that have had this issue, and I have had this issue. When I was over 400 pounds and I was in a very aggressive working environment, a very aggressive business partner, I actually felt safer. I felt like it always felt to me like one day we were going to have a fist fight because he was just such an aggressive person and we were working so closely together. And the more I gained weight, the safer I felt because I felt like if we ever did have a fist fight, I could beat him because I was so much heavier than him. So for me, that that weight made me feel safe. People that have had trauma in their life, abuse of any type, people that have boundary issues and trouble saying no, conflict avoidance, those type of people tend to put on weight because the body acts like a boundary. The body's pushing the other person away. It's pushing the situation away. It's creating space. For women that have been sexually abused, for example, it also creates another layer where it's pushing them away and it's pushing predators away because you're going to be less noticed possibly, because in our culture we're not noticed unless we're a certain look, just in a very stereotypical way. Having excess weight can make you feel less noticed. It can make you feel invisible. I had a lady tell me that when she was 10 years old, from the age of 10 to 13, she had a babysitter that was abusing her. It was a female babysitter, actually, and it was abusing, and she was abusing her for 3 years. The whole time she was abusing her, she was gaining weight. She got heavier and heavier. Eventually, the babysitter stopped abusing her because she wasn't interested in her anymore because she had gained so much weight. So in her case, that weight actually did protect her. And she had tried to lose weight for 30 years with diets. And you know what happened, right? Every time she started losing weight, everyone said, oh, you look great. She got scared. She freaked out. She had a big binge. You have to address this. If your body's using weight as a strategy to help you feel safer in the world, then it has to be addressed. And if you look at the way the body, as I mentioned, and the body is a brilliantly, brilliantly adaptive organism. If you look at the way the body adapts to stress, we talked about, if you're in a famine, your body's going to adapt to stress by gaining weight. If you're being chased by a tiger, your body's going to adapt to weight by being thin and fit. Well, if you look, there's other layers of adaptation also when it comes to predators. So if you look in the wild how animals have grown and evolved into different sizes, it's all to protect them against predators. You have one strategy where you are tiny as a mouse, so no one can see you. And many times that's an example of people that are anorexic often have a desire to become invisible. They want to be so tiny that no one can see them. That's an adaptation to trauma. Another one is to be so large, right? So if you look in the wild, the larger animals, an elephant does not have to worry about a predator. It just isn't good. It's so big, nothing's going to touch it. That's sort of the strategy that I had. I was so big that what my body perceived as a predator based on the trauma that I had as a child, no, it wasn't going to touch it. So these are adaptations, and they have to be addressed. Emotional obesity comes, as I said, from fear and trauma. Past traumas tell your body that you're not safe, that you have to do something. Your body's pushing it away. Your body's saying the no for you. Your body's being strong for you. So here's some examples of past traumas that typically can trigger this feeling of emotional obesity, this need to have excess weight in order to be safe. Any abusive situation, any mental, emotional, or physical past abusive situation can cause your body to want to hold on to weight as a form of protection. And they did a study, huge study on 20,000+ people called the ACE study. ACE is an acronym, ACE, A-C-E. ACE is an acronym for Adverse Childhood Experience, A-C-E, Adverse Childhood Experience. You can look it up. And what they found was that the people that had an adverse childhood experience, that is, they had traumatic childhood, are 50% more likely to be overweight and abuse and obese than people that didn't have an adverse childhood. And that's because the trauma triggers your body and your body wants to feel safe. So any type of abuse, dominating parents, teachers, siblings, neighbors, getting mugged or any type of situation like that, moving is a big trigger for a lot of people. It makes you feel unsafe when you're 5 years old and everybody you know and you up and move. It's very scary. That can be a trauma that causes people to gain weight. Ending a job, starting a job, getting married, getting divorced, ending school and sometimes starting school and any type of school situations where there's bullying. Any type of bullying can cause you to gain weight. Financial stress, any type of illnesses, accidents, surgeries, any type of trauma basically can cause a situation. And you can know if you have emotional obesity in a couple of different ways. One is that if you gain the weight after the trauma, then yes, 100% you have emotional obesity, especially if you gained it quickly after the trauma. Something happened, you moved, you God forbid, were bullied or mugged or whatever, and then you put on 50 pounds real quickly and you kept it on, that's your body. That is emotional obesity, 100%. Also, if you find that when you lose weight and people start to notice you, oh, you look great. How many times has this happened to you where you lose 10 or 20 pounds or 5 or 10 kilos and then someone says to you, oh, wow, you look great. And then the next thing you do is you pig out. Have you ever noticed that situation? If you're having that situation, that's emotional obesity. That's because you're actually feeling unsafe because you're being noticed. And this is a test. This applies mostly to women, what I'm about to say right now. But here's a test that you can do right now. We can do it all together. As you're listening, you can try this test. You can close your eyes and just imagine this. Imagine you're walking down the street. You're in your most perfect, ideal weight. You're feeling great. You're looking great. You're exactly who you want to be. You're exactly who you've tried so hard to be on so many diets. And then each time you don't get there, but this time you get there. So in your mind, you are exactly looking and feeling exactly. And you're walking down the street and you're feeling great. So just imagine that for a second and imagine how that feels. Okay? And then I'd like you to imagine that as you're walking down the street, looking and feeling amazing, people are noticing you. Maybe men are checking you out. And like this guy is doing right here, you're being noticed. How do you feel now? And the answer is, if you feel any different at all, ooh, I don't know, ooh, now I'm not, if you feel anything like that ooh, I don't know feeling, then you 100%, not 50%, but 100% you have emotional obesity. You have, your body is using weight to keep you safe, to keep you not noticed. You have to address that. And I'll tell you how to address it in a second. But I remember talking to another client recently where she was in a store with her sister and she was heavier than her sister. And this guy walked in. This guy was checking out her sister. And she thought to herself, I'm safe. He's not going to notice me because I have this extra weight. And I thought that I said to her, look, you know, that's 100%. You've got to address this issue. You have to feel safe in those situations. Not everybody feels that way. I mean, if I'm in a store and someone's checking me out, I don't care, you know, that, like, I have one, no care one way or the other. I'm not saying that happens that often, and I'm sure it happens, it's going to happen much more, you know, if you're a woman, but who cares? As long as you feel safe, who cares? It's their business. They're checking you out. It's not you. But the minute that feels uncomfortable for whatever reason, that's emotional obesity, and that has to be addressed. And one of the ways that we're going to address that is in the safe, strong, and protected visualization, which is the visualization that we're going to be listening to this week, which we're going to be talking about. Now, here's something cool about emotional obesity, cool or not cool, but interesting, is there's two ways to address it, and I recommend you address it both ways. One is to go back and relieve the past trauma through some types of therapies like meridian tapping or cellular release therapy or regression therapy or hypnosis or EMDR. These are all different energetic therapies that help you go back and relieve the trauma. So when you work through the trauma so that the original trauma is gone and your body doesn't feel unsafe, the weight goes away. But there's a second way you can do it, and this is the way we're going to do it with this visualization that we're going to listen to this week called the Safe, Strong, and Protected Visualization. There's a second way you can do it, and that is you can create a surrogate form of protection. You can use visualization to form a surrogate form of protection. And I'll give you an example right now. For those of you that just did that exercise with me where you were walking down the street and when people were checking you out, you felt uncomfortable, I want to go back to that experience again. So let's imagine that you are once again walking down the street and you are once again in your most perfect ideal shape, feeling great, looking great. And now let's imagine that you have some powerful protection around you. Let's imagine that a guardian angel, male or female, whatever's comfortable for you, female guardian angel, is wrapping her wings around you. She's 12 foot tall, and she's so strong and powerful. And I'll even show you how powerful this lady is. You can look at this guardian angel, and I'd like you to imagine this scenario. Imagine that you're looking at this guardian angel, and she's from a distance, and she's on train tracks. She's standing on train tracks, and there's a train coming. Now, there's no one on the train. There's no conductors. There's no people. No one's going to get hurt. But this train is going toward this incredibly beautiful and powerful angel. And it's just an example. If you're not comfortable with the angel, the symbology is not a big deal. We have other forms, which I'm going to give you in a second. But let's do this for a second. So you're looking at this angel. This train's coming. The train's about to hit your guardian angel. She smiles, and she just moves her wings ever so slightly, and the train flies 100 miles away, just flies into the ocean. That's how powerful she is. So now she's coming, and she's wrapping her wings around you so that no one can hurt you. You can let whoever you want in, but no one can come in that you don't want in. That is your protection now. You have this guardian angel. You don't need to wait anymore. Now you're walking down the street. How do you feel now? Now, many of you, usually what happens, you get like this kind of light laugh, and you just feel, wow, completely different. You've created a surrogate. You've used visualization, which is the language. Visualization is the way the mind communicates with the body, using symbols and as the language to communicate to the body. Just use the symbols as a language to say to the body, we're safe. We don't need the weight. We have a surrogate form of protection. Does that make sense? Very, very powerful. That's in the safe, strong, and protective visualization. Also, another, you don't, and this is and or. You don't want to use angels, or if you do want to use angels and you want to use this too, you can use a column of white light. So let's go back to the train tracks for a second and imagine there's a column of white light coming from the sky. Maybe it's like 3 or 4 feet in diameter, and it's coming all the way from the sky. And it is on the train tracks too. The train comes and hits it, and the train just bounces off it and goes flying 100 miles away into the ocean. That's how powerful this column of light is. And now I'd like you to imagine this column of light is around you while you're walking. So you have the guardian angel, if you want it or not, whichever, if you're comfortable, when you have this column of light around you, the weight's melting off of you, you feel amazing, but you have all this protection and people noticing you, and you maybe just saying smile, you just smiling back and saying hi, and you keep going. How does that feel? Cool. So this week we're going to use this methodology. We're going to use this technique in the visualization, the safe, strong, and protective visualization as your visualization for working through emotional trauma and relieving stress. So let's talk about some strategies for relieving stress if we can. So meditation and visualization is number one. Nothing on earth is better. And I've created these visualizations for you. You just got to click and listen. Let your mind wander. Don't try hard. Don't worry if you can't see the light or the this or the that. Let your mind wander. Just show up for it. You will get better and better at it, and you will get all the benefits, whether you're paying attention or not. Yoga is really great. It's a great mind-body practice. So it's Tai Chi and Qigong. These are all mind-body practices. Getting out in sunlight, listening to art, listening to music or doing any kind of art. Sports, martial arts, boxing, great for reducing stress. Also living a simpler, low cost, more sustainable life. That is a really, really powerful one. Anywhere you can simplify your life and lower your expenses and make yourself feel like more sustainable, that's going to be huge. That worked really, really well for me. I started growing my own food and living a real simple life. My expenses, I cut them down to as little as possible, and I felt very sustainable, and that was really, really huge for me. So these are things that you want to keep in mind and try and look where you can to help. But what happens is when you work through the emotional issues and you reduce the stress, you see certain changes. You start to feel calmer, crave less food, feeling tempted, and you have more energy. Maybe you start exercising, you feel more alive, more vibrant. And all these things happen when you address the stresses in your life. And so just to reiterate, the one take home from this class, the most important take home from this class, is to understand how the body works in the sense that how important mental and emotional stress is and emotional trauma in your health and how important it is to address it. And it's not simply that you're having you're doing stress eating or comfort eating or emotional eating. It's not simply about that. You are changing the molecular biology of your body with stress in an incredibly adverse way. Just like the car analogy where you get to the point where the car's not, I don't care how much gas you have, the car's not running. So it doesn't matter what you're doing that you're not burning fat. So you have to change that. This is so, so, so crucial. And there is not a single program that I've seen out there that focuses enough on this issue, which is why they often get just mediocre or short-term results. Cool. So let's talk about the action steps for this week. If we can, so remember that what we're going to do each week is we're going to add to the action steps. Whatever we were doing before, we're going to add to it. So this week, the morning visualization, as I mentioned a few times throughout the call, is the safe, strong, and protected visualization. I'd like you to listen to that every morning if you can. Just let your mind wander. If you can sit up, that's great. If you can do it at the same time every day, that's great. Just let your mind wander if you have to. Listen to this every day. You can listen to it a couple of times every day if you want. The second thing, which is incredibly important and useful, is taking an afternoon stress reduction break. So let's talk about that. Afternoon stress reduction break. So typically what happens is we wake up and we're stressed out. We look at Facebook. We look at the news. We hear the TV blaring, and already our mind's going. We're in a stress state. We're late for work. The radio, the guy's going blah, 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 and we're in a stressed out state. That's typical. Then the day goes on, your boss, the deadline, the this, the that. By the time 2 or 3 o'clock comes around, you are so wound up from a stress perspective. Also, if you ate your meal, probably ate it real fast because you're in a stressed out state, and maybe it's got some kind of junk food that's causing low blood sugar. So you get to this place around 2, 3, 4 o'clock where you've got low blood sugar and stress causing junk food cravings and exhaustion. And then if you eat some sort of junk food, your blood sugar is going to be up and down for the rest of the day. And then you're going to be at the end of the day, you're going to have junk food cravings at night, and it just sets you up for a really bad situation. Now, when you start your day by listening to a visualization or practicing meditation, instead of the news and the TV and the radio and all that and Facebook and all that kind of stuff, when you start your day that way, you're already in a calm, relaxed state. Then if you're doing some of the other eating suggestions, drinking some water with lemon or apple cider vinegar, having green juices, things we're going to talk about in a second, eating healthy, nutritious foods, things that heal your digestion, when you start doing all those things, you're already in a less stressed out state. But then still by 2, 3, 4 o'clock, sometime in there, you could still be stressed. You could still have low blood sugar. I want you to take a stress reduction break. And the time to take a stress reduction break depends on you. What you will notice if you pay attention is that there's a certain time of the day. Like for me, it's typically 3 o'clock. It might be 4 o'clock for you or 2:30. Certain time of day where you're tired and you're craving more of the sweet type foods. That the time to take the stress reduction break, if that's your case, if it's 3 o'clock for you that happens, the time to take the stress reduction break isn't 3 o'clock when it's happening. It's 2:30 before it happens. You want to take the stress. You want to be proactive and take the stress reduction break a half an hour before you typically get the low blood sugar and the stressed out kind of crash. And all you want to do is you could lie down for 5 or 10 minutes in the grass. You could sit in the park. Ideally, you want to listen to a visualization. That's one of the things you want to do is you want to listen to a visualization. So you can listen to any type of visualization in the afternoon. It could be a short one. But you can listen to a visual, sit on a park bench or sit in your car with the car parked in a parking lot, or lie down in a bed or a couch if you have that access to that in the afternoon. Listen to the visualization and have a snack. You want to do those two things. Probably better to have a snack first if you're hungry, if not have a snack after. But to have a snack that has some sort of healthy protein and healthy fats and maybe some live food. Healthy protein, healthy fats, live food, like a salad with some sort of animal protein. If you do eat animal protein, it would be nice. You only have to have a couple of bites if you're not that hungry. But that combination of resting for 5 or 10 minutes, lying in the grass, lying in the sun, listening to a visualization and having a snack is magic, because the rest of the afternoon you don't have that low blood sugar episode. You're not stressed out, and you don't set yourself up for the rest of the day having wild blood sugar fluctuations and nighttime junk food cravings and all that. You get to go home and be present and be relaxed and enjoy your time with your family and your friends and whatever activities you have. It's a great, 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 great habit. I do it all the time. I take a nap for 5 or 10, for even just 10 minutes in the afternoon almost every day. It's just one of the best things you can do. So you want to listen to the safe, strong, and protective visualization. You want to take an afternoon stress reduction break. And then if you see a class that teaches meditation, Tai Chi, yoga, any of that, you may want to try that, find that. That's cool. But the first two, you want to try to do every day. You want to do the stress, safe, strong, and protective visualization every day. You want to get into the habit of having, taking a stress reduction break. Cool. Then we've got our other habits that we've talked about, action steps, drinking 2 glasses of water with lemon or apple cider vinegar in the morning, having a probiotic sometime in the morning or afternoon, having a green drink, a green juice or some super greens or veggie broth. That's the thing I like usually, veggie broth or some spirulina, just something that's going to nourish you really, really well first thing in the morning. That's really great. Now, I have here, it says here, eat a great blood sugar balancing breakfast. I want to talk about breakfast for a second. One of the callers in our question and answer session last week was talking about the difference, the pros and cons of eating a good breakfast versus something called intermittent fasting, which is when you don't eat till like 11, 12 in the afternoon. And my answer is that when you get to a place where you're not hungry till 11, 12 in the afternoon, okay, don't eat breakfast. Eat, just have your first meal be 11 or 12. In the afternoon. That's actually really, really good when it happens on its own because your body wants to let go of weight. It's something I call organic intermittent fasting. Organic meaning it's happening organically. It's happening on its own. It's not forced. But if you're in a situation now where you typically get junk food cravings in the afternoons and the evenings and your blood sugar fluctuates and you're tired after a meal, it is better to eat a breakfast in the morning, a good blood sugar balancing, which means things that have protein, healthy fats, and live foods in the morning. Until you get to a place where you're not craving junk foods anymore and your blood sugar is not fluctuating all over the place, then, yeah, you want to start eating later, having your first meal later in the day. That's totally cool. So play with that. See what works for you. Taking digestive enzymes with meals we talked about. And then during the day, when you're eating, you want to make sure you're adding live foods like a salad and sprouts. You're adding healthy fats like fish oils and omega-3s and chia seed oil, hemp seed oil, flaxseed oils in your salads. You want to have some healthy animal proteins or some healthy vegetarian proteins, depending on, obviously, whether you're vegetarian or not. Keep drinking water throughout the day. Listen to the evening visualization at night. That's it for this week. Those are the action steps for this week. If you have any questions, just reach out to us, either in the Facebook group, or in the members area, or we do have our question and answer session in 3 days from now. So it's going to be Thursday night if you're in the States, Friday morning if you're in Australia, New Zealand. Talk to me. The session was great last time. If you haven't listened to it, please do. Lots of really great questions, informed questions, thoughtful questions. People that are really, really, they're listening to the classes. They're taking it all in, and they have some really great questions. And it's a great time also for you to talk to me and ask me what's right for you. I'm more than happy to talk. We're going to do this every week for the rest of the course. And that's, again, Thursday nights in the States, Friday morning in Australia, New Zealand. It's 3 days from now. In the meantime, take it easy. Take it relaxed. Focus on reducing stress, focusing on nourishing your body and healing digestion. These are the things we are focusing on right now, hydrating your body, reducing toxins through living a detoxification lifestyle. These are all the things we're talking about right now and focusing on so that you're addressing the real issues and your body naturally wants to lose weight. As far as I can see, this is the only approach that I've seen where people actually talk about how do you get your body to want to be thin, and that's what we're doing. We're addressing the real issues. It's not a quick fix. I do not want you to weigh yourself. I do not want you to worry about how much you're losing in this program. This is not a lose 30 pounds in 30 days of program. This is creating positive habits for the rest of your life that will address the real issues that will cause your body to actually want to be thin and change your body on a hormonal and cellular level. That's what we're doing. Be patient with yourself. Be gentle with yourself. Focus on adding healthy foods, adding visualizations, adding positive habits, and creating positive habits. And it will transform you, your body, and your life forever. Cool. So that's it for now. And I'll speak to you real soon. Take care.